The Gary Knoll Show, daily at noon on the Progressive Radio Network.
Live from New York City, it's The Gary Knoll Show. And now, your host, Gary Knoll.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studio in New York City. You can watch this program by going to progressiveradionetwork.com. Today, my guest in about 15 minutes will be Dr. Margaret Cochran. We're going to talk about dealing with fear from a more natural point of view. My topics today will include an in-depth look at how we can live a longer life. We're going to look at spirulina, red wine, lifting weights, eating mustard, and sleep deprivation. Have a lot to share. A special commentary later on in the program from Chris Hedges. Our commentary from Chris Hedges from commondreams.com, Occupy Together, The Best Among Us. Also from our issue of the day, how better parenting could produce fewer greedy bankers and more people who care about the future of the earth, from Tony Nagy from Alternet. We have a lot to share. Let's begin. When I grew up, there was no YMCA. And as a result, we found a garage, fixed it up, put a lot of weights in it, and we lifted weights. There were about six of us. We didn't know about nutrition. We just knew that the big weightlifters at the time, one Paul Anderson, drank a lot of milk. So we drank a lot of milk and had non-fat dry milk powder. We'd later calculate that that was probably about 250 grams protein a day. We're lucky we lived. Our kidneys didn't collapse. And remember, my face was always puffy and I had bags under my eyes. Of course, that was from the dairy allergy. I didn't know I had a dairy allergy at the time. But lifting weights was big. And it was one of the few things we could do where I grew up. Today, most people do not lift weights, but they should. This is one of those pieces of information that comes from a major peer-reviewed journal, and it says, new research suggests that eating mustard from the mustard plant produces an anabolic effect and increases muscle mass, as well as the number and size of muscle fibers. I never knew that. In fact, who would have ever suspected that? Quote, if you're looking to lean out, add muscle mass, and get ripped, new research report published just today suggests that you might want to look to your garden for a little help. That's because scientists found that when a specific plant steroid was given orally to rats, it triggered a response similar to anabolic steroids, but with no harmful side effects. So this is what they're doing. It's affecting a protein in the muscle cells. So it leads to leaner bodies, that's what we all want, more muscle, that's good, and enhanced physical performance. That's all the good things. Now, I'm a big believer in mustard being one of nature's most perfect foods. And who knew that by eating mustard, it would enhance muscle mass, but it does. And then lifting some weights or doing resistance exercise. Now, let's say you don't go to a gym or you can't afford to, you don't have weights, then do push-ups. Push-ups, sit-ups, the things you can do at home. Red wine ingredient resveratrol stops breast cancer growth. This is from the Federation of American Societies for Experimental Biology, and it says the following. A new research report shows that resveratrol, the healthy ingredient in red wine, stops breast cancer cells from growing by blocking the growth effects of estrogen. This discovery, made by a team of American and Italian scientists, suggests for the first time that resveratrol is able to counteract the malignant progression since it inhibits the proliferation of hormone-resistant breast cancer cells. This has incredibly important impact. Quote, this is from the study done at the University of Calabria in Italy. Resveratrol is a potential pharmaceutical tool to be exploited when breast cancer becomes resistant to hormonal therapy. Well, hello, how about doing this? Why don't we just suggest that women take resveratrol every day to prevent breast cancer? That would be a better idea. So, good news there. I'm suggesting 250 milligrams a day of resveratrol. The first time I heard about spirulina was when I got a call from Dick Gregory. And he says, Gary, what do you know about this? And I said, well, not a whole lot. It's just that it's a green sea vegetable, and it's grown in Lake Texicoma down in Mexico. He said, people are making a lot of claims about it, and I don't know if these claims are legitimate or not. So I went ahead and I did research on this. And what I found was that it was not just a spirulina being a single-cell algae. It was extremely high in protein. In fact, there was no other food that I could find that has a highest level of protein as spirulina, and that you could cultivate it domestically, which means you could grow it in clean water so it wouldn't have any of the pollutants, like blue-green algae that was grown in Lake Klamath up in the Pacific Northwest was grown on a commercial lake where you had boats and people's septic system going right in the water. Well, I wouldn't have eaten any of that because what medium an item is grown in, it absorbs. So heavy metals and toxins, bacteria and parasites could have been in that. But spirulina was different. Now comes the latest information that this spirulina, this algae, is quite simply everything we always thought it would be. We knew that the Aztecs used it back in the 16th century, and North Americans used it. Well, it was rediscovered by the French, who later opened the first spirulina processing plant in 1969. Then the Japanese did the same, and it was grown in California and Hawaii. It is quite simply in a class by itself. It's not a sea plant, but it's found mostly in freshwater lakes, and it thrives in warm water, like 85 degrees to about 110 degrees Fahrenheit. And it's dark in appearance, and its spirulina is named for its shape, like a swirling microscopic strands. And there's lots of varieties, over 35,000 different varieties. And spirulina contains the number one amount of protein, but also a whole spectrum of other nutrients. It's up to 70% protein. That makes it have more protein than any red meat or even soy. And it's also got vitamin B12, rather large amount of B12. So vegans, that's a good source of B12. And it increases energy. It's great for diabetics because it can help stop cravings of sugary food. And it requires less insulin when you're using spirulina. And it helps the body lose weight. And also, when women are breastfeeding, they have used spirulina in the diet. And it also helps with people who are looking to increase overall protein from vegan sources. Now, let's say that you're not getting enough sleep. A lot of people don't get enough sleep. What could happen? Well, how about you increase your risk of Alzheimer's disease? This is from Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis, and it says the following. A link between inadequate sleep and increased risk of Alzheimer's disease. They have found that a marker for Alzheimer's disease rises during day and falls with sleep in the spinal fluid, and the pattern is strongest in healthy young people than in older counterparts whose sleep periods are often shorter and more prone to disruption. So, quote, in healthy people, levels of amyloid beta drop to their lowest point about 6 hours after sleep and return to their highest point 6 hours after maximum wakefulness. My suggestion, this is in the Archives of Neurology, my suggestion, if you're not getting a good night's sleep, look for the obvious. Here are the 5 reasons you're likely not to fall asleep at night. 1, you go to bed thinking of something. You're stressed. You're trying to resolve a problem. Wrong time to focus on that problem. You should have nothing in your mind when you go to sleep. Just accept that you're not going to be able to resolve any problems at night. Put it off till tomorrow. Secondly, that you have light on in the room, and any light at all, from a TV, from a walking light, from outside, all that light will penetrate your eyelid, even if your eyelids are closed, and it signals the brain that you're really not ready to go to sleep. So the brain will not go into its really deep, rapid eye movement sleep. So you're not going to secrete the melatonin that you should from the pineal gland, which is also restorative and protective. Third, you've probably eaten something that may contain some simple carbohydrate that breaks down into sugar. And what happens is, let's say that you eat something. You're watching television, you eat something, and then you get a little tired and you go to bed. Even though you're physically tired, once what you've eaten starts to be digested, it will raise your blood sugar level. Glucose goes up. When that goes up, you're telling your body you're not asleep, you're awake. You've thrown the body into an anabolic get up and get out and do something. Instead of rest, relax, go to sleep, detoxify, cleanse. So any time that you are hungry at night, have yourself some ice water with some lemon juice. That will satisfy your hunger. It stops hunger pains, but doesn't raise your blood sugar. Or if you absolutely positively must have something to eat, eat organic popcorn. It won't provide the calories and sugar, but it'll give you the satiety, the sense of fullness. And then stop using any form of electromagnetic appliance, computers, cell phones, all of those, and televisions, your little digital clock beside your bed, all of that throws out a magnetic pulse, and that magnetic pulse resonates with your brain and your pineal gland, overheats the chromosomes in the brain, and that can prevent you from sleeping. So take a nice warm bath or a hot shower, have yourself 2 to 3 milligrams of melatonin, maybe 100 milligrams of theanine, T-H-E-A-N-I-N-E, and then have yourself some nice sleep. And finally, there is a nutrient in soy called genistein, G-E-N-I-S-T-E-I-N, genistein. For a long time, for at least 20 years, we've known that it's very important to prevent cancer. Now, this is the latest study, University of Oslo, and it says the following, quote, this is published in the Journal of Cancer, Nutrition and Cancer, says, supplements of 30 milligrams of genistein resulted in a decrease in the levels of blood serum prostate-specific antigen, PSA, in a matter of weeks. So that means in a double-blind placebo-controlled trial, genistein helped a person who would otherwise have prostate cancer or the increase in prostate cancer risk. Now, they're only using 30 milligrams. I would have suggested someone use 250 milligrams. So just imagine how much more it would lower your PSA level if you use the right amount. And finally, you should be using vitamin B12. Now, there's several ways of taking it. I suggest taking it as a sublingual, meaning you put a little tablet under your tongue, and as your salivation process occurs, meaning mucus under the tongue and in the mouth, it breaks down the tablet, and then it's absorbed sublingually, goes into your system, and you get the boost of energy. I suggest 1 milligram of methylated B12. Here's the latest on why you should be getting your B12. And this is published in the peer-reviewed journal Neurology. It says, makers of vitamin B12 status, meaning lower vitamins, were associated with brain shrinkage. This was done at the Rush University Medical Center in Chicago, which means that if you don't have enough B12, you can have brain shrinkage. If you have adequate amounts of B12, that won't be the case. So make sure that you get your vitamin B12 on a regular basis, preventing your brain from shrinking and giving you more energy, and especially in the brain. I'm Gary Nall, back in a moment with our guest. And my guest coming up, we're going to talk about overcoming fear, a natural approach. And no, you're not crazy because you're going through some emotional challenges right now. Medicine and the media would like to convince you you're crazy, but that's merely because it makes it easier to control your behavior and get you to believe all those lies in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Psychiatry so they can give you a diagnosis, bipolar, psychotic, and then drug you. My guest, Dr. Margaret Cochran, will be here with us in a moment to discuss this. Please stay with us. Welcome, all of you. I'm Gary Nall. To our guest in just a moment, but a few announcements before then. This will be our last program on WMYE 91.5 FM, the official radio station of the City of New York, where we've been broadcasting for 7 straight years. Why? Because we have too many signals in New York City every single day, all at the same time. And because of our new really beautiful studio, it'll be as nice as Fox or NBC or CBS or ABC. In fact, we have one of them, one of the people who designed their sets, designed ours. It's all done, and now we're actually constructing it, and so hopefully in about a month. But we want to simplify our streaming, so anyone listening who does not have a computer, as of Monday, you'll be able to listen to this show every day of the week, Monday to Friday, by going to WBAI, that's 99.5 FM, 99.5 FM, WBAI. I've been on there for 28 and a half years, but on Pacifica for 33 and a half years, the longest running uninterrupted daily program in Pacifica's history. So you won't miss anything. Now, if you have a computer, listen on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. So, again, we thank the good people. They have been terrific to us. It's a great station. And even though we're number one there, we want to thank them for giving us a forum. But we only really need two, Progressive Radio and WBAI. So I thank them. But as of Monday, you'll listen on 99.5 FM. We have a very busy weekend coming up. In about 20 minutes, I'll tell you what we're going to be doing tomorrow. 3 different rallies on 3 different topics. At 11, the Right to Know rally, where we're going to be marching from Grand Army Plaza in Prospect Park in Brooklyn to Washington, D.C. Then at about, I'm going to be lecturing at about 1 o'clock at the Coalition Against Nukes rally at 55th Street on Pier 95 on the Hudson River. And then at 7 p.m., Occupy Wall Street event. I'm the keynote speaker at 7 p.m. at 56 Walker Street. And so it's a busy day. Then I have to drive back in and join the marchers tomorrow, then drive back tomorrow night, Sunday night, for my Sunday evening program. So I'm going to be going back and forth, joining different parts of the march and being there because we're marching against genetic engineering. So we're marching against genetic engineering. We're protesting closing down nukes, especially Indian Point nuclear power plant. And we are going to be challenging. I'm going to be bringing a little different approach to the whole movement on Wall Street, and I'll save that for tomorrow evening. So that's our special announcements. By the way, we could use, and we're going to leave from here, those of you who would like to leave with us, if you have cars or vans, at 9:30 at 83rd and Broadway, to start do this. Those of you who want to go to Brooklyn, then I have to go from Brooklyn and film there and get into the march. Then I jump over and do the nuke rally, and then later in the day do the Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street rally. Busy day, but and it's going to get busier over next week. So that's that. If you have a car and would like to help us, I want you to give a call. I'm going to give you a number that you can call. And if you have a car or a van, and we're going to be, I have two big film crews from my office here that we're taking, because I'm going to document all this and then stream it on the internet, as I'm also filming a major documentary on genetic engineering and why we should not be doing genetic engineering. We've been filming this for 3 years in India, Canada, Japan, all over the world. But it's almost done, and we'll culminate our filming in Washington. Call Jason at 646-926-5428, 646-926-5428. Also, in about 2 weeks, I'm going to be trying to raise about $10 million for all of the environmental groups who are stopping radiation. They don't have any money now. I have a plan to get them all money so they can continue and sustain their efforts. The pro-nuke people have all the money and resources. Our group has people, determination, and truth. Now we'll have a little bit of money to spread around and help everyone out. And finally, to support our station, and all the money goes to the station, I'll do our one ad for the week that will help. That's why no one else on Progressive Radio Network ever has to raise funds. For those of you who are not aware, I've just released a major film. It's called Death by Medicine. And Death by Medicine took 7 years of filming. And what it does is, for the first time, it is the film that shows you why the number one cause of death and injury in the United States is American medicine. The trouble is, you don't know any of this, and so a trusting soul, you assume the medications you're getting have been proven safe and effective. You assume the procedure you're getting is necessary. The tests are necessary. None of that is true. And I've only used Professor Emeritus's and leading physicians from Orthodox medicine to make the case that we need radical reform of our medical paradigm. The way we diagnose conditions that do not exist in psychiatry, give drugs that can only hurt you and not help you. The myth of the brain chemical imbalance, which is pervasive. All of this is discussed and shown in Death by Medicine. So it is and by the way, it's the number one winning film, I was told, in the world, documentary, this year in international film festivals. I believe it's been a finalist or official entry winner in over 50. So it's getting attention. It's yours with a book, brand new book, just came out this week. You get the book Death by Medicine and you get the film Death by Medicine together both, for just $15. It's a $70 value for $15. Now, I don't have a lot of copies here. I think we bought 500 copies. Call 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065 for Death by Medicine, my new feature documentary, the most definitive work ever done on medicine. And look at what you learn from it. It's a scary film to watch, but you need to watch this. It could save your life. 877-627-5065. Separately, one of the most important products I've ever invented was Ageless Answer. In fact, I use it every day. This morning after my run, I put it on my hands, my skin. Now, I have no makeup on. I have 3 500-watt lights here in the studio. You see me up close with a high-definition camera. You see there's not a wrinkle. Skin as soft and smooth as can be. Nails, pink, hard, and clear. And skin, no aging spots. That's my diet. That's the antioxidants. It's also a answer. Now, you look at what you put on your skin. Read the ingredients. The number one ingredient is the most important because that's the dominant ingredient. Mine, organically grown in the United States, the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, aloe vera. And not just any aloe vera, there are many types, but the aloe barbadensis, which is the most important, and not just any. The gel, no, the whole leaf, because I have found that there are hundreds of phytonutrients in the leaf itself. It is processed under strict rabbinical supervision at a plant right on the farm down in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And if you want to see this, we actually went up in an airplane, flew low over the field so you can see the 1,200 acres and see it growing. We hand-planted it. 3 years, we cut a single leaf off. We take it in. We wash it. We crush it up. We take the active ingredients. It's all done really great. And then to that, I add an herbal infusion of purified water, Siberian ginseng, but the best, which is the Eleutherococcus syntachosus extract. I use purple carrot extract, red clover extract, the soy isoflavones, the zimbazine fermentin, which is a glycine soybean lysate extract. I use shiitake mushroom extract, maitake, Ganoderma insidium extract, metafoam, seed oil. I use only blue-green algae, the best of the best, the red marine algae. I use vegetable and rosehip seeds and coconut and chardonnay grapes and ascorbyl palmitate. I mean, I have so many things in here. And you look at my ingredients, coenzyme Q10, vitamin E, borage seed oil, oil primrose, retinol palmitate, beta-glucan, lycopene. Yeah, that's what's in mine with a natural cherry almond vanilla. Smells great. You massage it into your skin. And my ageless answer, skin rejuvenation renewal cream, I suggest you use it either at night before you go to bed, after washing your face, and put it where you got challenged skin. Your neck, your knees, your throat, your hands, back of your hands, and your face. And then see how you look and how your skin looks in about 2 months. And by the way, this is a 2-month supply because I doubled it. I went from 2 ounces to a 4-ounce jar. Here's the deal. You buy one jar, I'm going to give you the second jar free of Ageless Answer. This is for men, this is for women, this is for everyone who cares about their skin. You won't see it, it's not oily, it's not greasy, it smells great, but it is great because the ingredients, there's no compromise on my products. I put the best of the best. This is the Rolls Royce of all things you can put on your skin. Ageless Answer Skin Renewal Cream. Call 877-627-5065, 877-627-5065, and that way you can help the station and help your skin. My guest, Margaret Cochran, nice to have you with us.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Margaret, many physicians and mental health professionals view the mind and the body as two separate units rather than seeing them on a continuum of care. You take a unique approach in your treatment, which has a whole brain approach to integrate responses from both the left and the right hemispheres. So tell us, please, your methodology and share a bit about the success you have encountered.
Well, the real key in treating anything, whether it's your mind or your body, which, as you so eloquently expressed, I think of those things as the same on a continuum, is to be able to find the particular secret formula for any individual. For example, two people with the same diagnosis may require very different treatment. And the trick is to be able to listen to the person and their body and treat them not only objectively, but subjectively as well.
All right, fair enough. Now, we know that many mental health issues are actually caused by underlying biomolecular imbalances like a low thyroid, low dopamine or serotonin levels, vitamin D levels, adrenal dysfunction, etc. What have you found to be the most effective non-pharmaceutical treatments for dealing with what we call mental illness, particularly depression, which is literally at an epidemic proportion today?
Well, I think it's important to discriminate. For example, there are lots of people that would qualify for the diagnosis of depression, but they don't necessarily suffer from neurosynaptic dysfunction, meaning that the receptor sites on the end of neurons in their brain are having difficulty reuptaking their own natural neurotransmitters, which allow the brain, different parts of the brain to talk to one another and work effectively. We have to discriminate between someone who's actually having neurosynaptic dysfunction, someone that may have another physiological illness like a thyroid or adrenal problem that may give you the appearance of depression, and someone who has simply lifestyle issues that produce those same kinds of symptoms.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I like the succinctness of your answer, but you're hitting it right on the head. Appreciate that. Perhaps more than any recent times that I know of, fear is permeating people's lives. Fear of the future, fear of whether they will meet their next mortgage payment or have a job tomorrow. Students have fear of not being able to repay their mortgage or pay their student loans, and there's compounding interest on that. And basically a fear towards survival. From your work in transpersonal psychology, what are the adverse effects fear produces, and how would you advise fearful people to overcome their fears?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would think you would have a fear of being able to get to all your events. I was listening to your list earlier. You've just got a tremendous schedule.
Yeah, I do.
I have great admiration for you, and I hope you're taking your omega-3 fatty acids. That's
I am.
All I can say. Good boy, good boy. All right, 2 grams a day. Well, here's the thing. We are in a place where we have outstripped our evolution. Fear, in other words, our ability to perceive or anticipate danger is a very important thing in the human condition, because we have to be able to anticipate problems. If we were living out on the Serengeti or in a cave or something, you know, and there was a large animal that might eat us, our amygdala, the little part in the brain in the limbic system, that signals your adrenal glands to send out adrenaline and also cortisol, which is a stress hormone, which prepares us for the fight or flight response so that we can get away from the large animal or the scary thing or whatever it is. And that's a good thing. However, because of the way our culture is structured at this point, we can often end up in this kind of limbic loop, as I call it, where we are constantly in a fear state. And as a result, we are bypassing the cortex, the part of the brain that does rational thinking. We're not evaluating appropriately the material that's coming in, and we're making decisions out of fear rather than out of thought with consideration of our feelings. And as a result of that, some of the decisions we make are not very good ones.
I just have one final question, and this is a part of a documentary I'm now producing. It deals with the power of psychiatry, the power of a person to diagnose you with a condition based upon purely subjective materials to use. And that they're using their Bible as the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Psychiatry. The new edition is coming out, the 5th edition, early next year. Already there are criticisms arising due to new questionable disorders to be included. My primary concern is that this trend to find subsets of broader mental disorders has huge benefits for the pharmaceutical industry. And on the other hand, it enables more kinds of drugs to come to market, even if their efficacy and safety is limited. And second, it allows drug companies to extend the patent life of their existing drugs by simply registering them again for these new made-up conditions. And all they have to do is to conduct a small clinical trial for one of these so-called new disorders, submit it to the FDA, and their patent's lifespan has been increased by over a decade. So the DSM is really a great racket for the drug industry. What benefits have you understood that they're doing with the DSM, and what are your fears about its major drawbacks?
Ooh, great question. And you even threw some fear in there. I'm impressed. That was very good. Well, here's the thing. The DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, the Diagnostic Bible, as it's often referred to, is basically an attempt at developing a nomenclature, a common language for doctors like myself to be able to talk to one another in a clear and concise fashion about what's going on with a person. For example, in the early days of psychology, people's problems would get thrown into wastebasket terms, like everybody was a schizophrenic, okay? And as a result of that, nobody really understood what was going on with people, and often very inappropriate treatments were given. So the attempt to make subsets for diagnoses is just an attempt to specifically get at what's going on with an individual so that we can tailor our treatment to them. But here's the trick, in my opinion. No thing is necessarily good or bad. There are some exceptions to that, but generally speaking, no thing is good or bad. It is how it's used. You can use a label, for example, to greatly benefit someone, to give them services, to allow their insurance company to pay for their treatment, et cetera, or you can use it for purposes of manipulation and of, as you point out, using medications inappropriately. So bottom line is, no matter what we're dealing with it, whether it's somebody who has a radio show like yourself or someone who's a lawyer or a physician or anything else, you can use your skill, your expertise, your intuition in a way that can be really helpful or in a way that can be really hurtful. And no matter how you slice it, it comes down to caveat emptor. You must, as a consumer, whatever it is that you're consuming, pay attention. You have to use what I call whole brain thinking, to use both your left and your right side of your brain to inform you and help you make decisions that are going to be in the long term beneficial to you. You have to pay attention to your intuition and your feelings, and you have to use your logic and your linear thinking to evaluate it, and then you come to an integrated decision using both parts of your brain so that you can move forward.
I appreciate your insights. Very deftly stated. Dr. Margaret Cochran, thank you very much. Her website is drcochran.com, and that's drcochran.com. All the best to you.
Such a pleasure being on your show, and good luck with all your activities.
Thank you. I'm Gary Knoll. Now, quickly for our issue of the day, and then we'll take a break, and you can come back and talk about it. This is from Tony Nagy from Alternet. And it's short, but it's important. Here's a theory, quote, "Everyone who works for Wall Street has serious mommy and daddy issues. Actually, why not extend that to everyone who supports our current corporatized economy? Think about it. If we didn't spend our money filling the hole in our souls with retail therapy and went to actual therapy instead, we wouldn't be living in a trash can of a world. Maybe if we changed how we raised our children, we could nurture a generation that would actually truly look at sustainability and economic rationality. Picture the possibility of transforming the world through parenting our kids in a way that prioritizes peace over power, longevity over profit, community over greed, and maybe those children of the future could be wearing those spiffy silver space suits made from recycled tinfoil." Let's take a moment to really look at how our current system works. Companies make products, but in order for a company to make money, they have to stay competitive with the other companies who make the same products. The way they do that is by cutting costs at every possible juncture. They use the cheapest stuff they can get away with and pay people as little as possible, so you end up buying crap made by people who are paid crap. And rather than lose you as a customer, the crap you buy is built to last only the least amount of time you will tolerate and still buy more crap. I mean, I love children, but they are really horrible at sewing because my H&M dress doesn't last more than one washing before it starts coming apart. So quality, sustainability, and longevity are enemies to corporate America. All Wall Street cares about is the bottom line, because they have fiduciary responsibility to their investors to prioritize profit over the health of the earth and the people on it. Considering we are currently living on a planet with finite resources, this is a serious problem. I don't know about you, but I don't buy timeshares on Mars. So the question is why? Why is money more important than our survival? My answer is bad parenting. The human race is sprinting towards its own destruction because we think that money will make us feel better about our mom and dad never loving us enough or teaching us how to love ourselves. It is not your mom and dad's fault, or even their parents. We're talking about generations of people who have not figured out that nothing will make you feel emotionally fulfilled if you are not genuinely emotionally fulfilled on your own. Maybe the 99% of us so blindly support the 1% because we spend our adult lives resenting our parents and trying to find happiness through material possessions, stupid relationships, power over others, success in our jobs, and looking at pictures of each other's vacations on Facebook. Think of how many times parents work 80 hours a week to give their children everything when all their kids really wanted was their time and attention. Of course, this is a conundrum because without money, you can't pay for your kids' education. Without an education, your kids can't get a good job. And without a good job, your kids can't make money. We are doing our best to provide ourselves and our children in this competitive world, but the sad part of it is that it's all for nothing. Maybe it doesn't matter what college you go to after all. I'm Gary Nall, back in a moment. Your thoughts, 888-874-4888. Welcome, all of you. I'm Gary Nall. Well, you've had some very serious in-depth programming of recent time, and I would like for you to have a chance to call in and share your points of view. And to add one more little commentary about why I believe that we should be supporting those on Wall Street and all across the globe who are standing up and taking issue with those in power. A rare moment. I haven't seen this moment since the feminist movement, the anti-war movement, the Back the Earth movement, the civil rights movement, all coalescing over a period of time. We have all that being compressed into one moment now. That's why tomorrow I'll be helping with the Right to Know rally at Grand Army Plaza at Prospect Park in Brooklyn at 11 a.m. And then the march to Washington starts tomorrow from that park. And we'll be a part of that, and I'll be filming the whole thing because we're marching against genetic engineering, and I have a major documentary we're finishing on that, and we'll finish filming at the rally in Washington. Then I jump over from there at noon. I run over to Pier 95 at West 55th Street and 12th Avenue on the Hudson River, and I'm a keynote speaker with the Coalition Against Nuke Rally. We'll be joining with Helen Collicott and Harvey Wasserman and others to close down Indian Point. And then at 7 p.m. tomorrow evening, I'll be the keynote speaker at the Occupy Wall Street event at 56 Walker Street, where I'll be trying to give a different perspective on why I think we should have a different direction of what's going on Wall Street. I commend the people for being there, but my fear is if they don't understand the history of organization and what you do with a group of people, then it will dissipate into kind of like a faux event. So three different topics, three different areas tomorrow. If you want to join us, then hopefully you'll be at those locations. We're still looking for drivers. But why? There is no excuses to be left. Either you join the revolt taking place on Wall Street, in the financial districts, and other cities across the country, or you stand on the wrong side of history. Either you obstruct, in the only form left to us, which is civil disobedience, the plundering by the criminal class of Wall Street and the accelerated destruction of the ecosystem that sustains the human species, or become the passive enabler of a monstrous evil. Either you taste, feel, and smell the intoxication of freedom and revolt, or sink into the despair and apathy that is so common. Either you're a rebel or you're a slave. To be declared innocent in a country where the rule of law means nothing, where we have undergone a corporate coup, where the poor and the working men and women are reduced to joblessness and hunger, where war, financial speculation, and internal surveillance are the only real business of the state, where even habeas corpus no longer exist, where you, as a citizen, are nothing more than a commodity to corporate systems of power, one to be used and discarded, is to be complicit in this radical evil. To stand on the sidelines and say, I'm innocent, is to bear the mark of Cain. It is to do nothing to reach out and help the weak, the oppressed and the suffering, to save the planet. To be innocent in times like this is to be a criminal. Just ask Tim DeChristopher. Choose, but choose fast. The state and corporate forces are determined to crush this. They are not going to wait for you. They are terrified this will spread. They have their long power cycles with police on motorcycles, their rows of white padded wagons, their foot soldiers hunting for you on the streets with pepper spray and orange plastic nets. They have their metal barricades set up on every single street leading into New York financial district, where the mandarins in Brooks Brothers suits use their money, the money they stole from you, to gamble and speculate and gorge themselves, while one in four children outside those barricades depends on food stamps to eat. Speculation in the 17th century was a crime. Speculators were hanged. Today they run the state. They run the White House. They are the President of the United States. They are his cabinet. They are every single advisor he has had. They are every member of Congress with few exceptions. They are most of our Supreme Court. They are most of the media in the United States and virtually all the financial markets. They disseminate the lies that pollute our airwaves. They know, even better than you, how pervasive the corruption and theft have become, how gamed the system against you is, how corporations have centered on cementing into place a thin oligarchical class, and on the Americans being thrown out of their homes, a number that will pass over 40 million shortly. Yes. They know all this. They know that 45,000 Americans will die this year due to a lack of being able to get medical care, where real joblessness is spiraling to 20%, where the citizens, including students, spend lives toiling in debt peonage, working dead-end jobs when they have jobs, a world devoid of hope, a world of masters and serfs. The only word these corporations know is more. Chris Hedges, Gary Nall, call us 888-874-4888. Joining me in studio before we go to your calls is Jason. Hi, Jason.
Hi, good afternoon, Gary. Just actually wanted to tell the fans and thank them again. We have, for August 15th, 2011, we have the Progressive Commentary Hour Monday nights at 7 p.m. We have the most downloads by an independent, non-commercial show out on radio today. We had 168,252 downloads for just that show, which was part one of In the Name of Freedom, Peace, and Democracy. So I want to say
thank you. What people have been listening to. So it's almost 200,000 individual people listening
to
one show.
Unique users.
Good.
They're coming. And then another thing I looked up today, just doing some research, which was kind of unique and great, was looked up conservative radio on Google and saw 51 million people. I saw liberal, which was radio, which was 41 million, and progressive radio, which was at 95 million. But the thing that was so surprising and so great was that when you go to liberal radio, it's not a liberal radio anymore that comes up first. It's progressive radio that comes up first now. So the people are listening and they're realizing that progressive radio is the place to be.
Because we're getting out and getting into people's minds. We are leading demonstrations. We're coalescing people. Progressives are not going to sit by and be Clinton and Obama Democrats any longer. Those people are dinosaurs. Let's call them for who they are. They're corporate cats.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They're there for the fat cats. They're not there for the people, the working class, the poor. They're not there for the artists. They're not there for the independent, the thinkers. They're not there for the doers. The same is true on the Republican side. So the Republicans and Democrats thought that for all this time they controlled the game. There was no other place to go. They controlled the media. They controlled the political dialogue. They controlled the candidates who ran for office. If you weren't aligned with them, you didn't have a chance. Well, thank God that we had Ralph Nader. Thank God we had Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul, because there are independents out there, and people are abandoning that and going to a more progressive, open, spiritual, conscious way of making choices. And that's why we will be demonstrating. That's why we're going to march tomorrow. Because we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to sit in some Lower East Side coffee shop and complain about who's right. We're going to join, take our message of genetic engineering being bad. We're going to go to Washington. We're going to be in front of the FDA. We're going to film the FDA. I've got a new documentary. It's going to nail the FDA's ass to a wall, showing how corrupt it is. We're going to be demonstrating tomorrow and lecturing tomorrow to close down nuclear power. Next week, we're going to do a demonstration in front of the Governor Cuomo's office. We have a 5 million petition to sign to close nuclear power plants. We have millions of people across the world. Where do you read about these millions of people? Where do you see about these millions of people joining together? Do you know how many people Richard Martin today on his show, do you know how many people he Googled under Progressive Radio? 198,712,000. We're approaching 200 million. 200 million people seeking out progressive ideals, progressive ideas. So guess what? It hasn't gotten a single bit of comment anywhere in the media, left or right, because they're either aligned like Keith Olbermann, clueless about the true nature of problems and its solution, or Sean Hannity, somehow there's like two scorpions in a cocktail glass, immune to each other's stings, but the theater of it just amazes those who want to look at the theater and not look for solutions. We're into solutions, plain and simple. All right? And I'm telling people, you better get off your ass, because we've become a police state. We no longer respect the rule of law. The Cheneys, the Bushes, and all the others can break the law with impunity. And when they know that there are other people standing up, those people become a target. But they could stand up, they could harass, they could arrest, they could have those little fools at the FBI put a file on you, harass you, put you on a no-fly list. But what if there's 5 million? 50 million? What if there's 200 million? Guess who's going to wake up one day and see a whole lot of people who are no longer going to take it anymore? In fact, we're going to start, and I'm going to look for a new show to get a host on, the Howard Beal Hour. Okay. We're going to get someone who's really to go out there and raise hell on the radio, but have the truth, but do it in such a way that it will just shake people up. That's what we need. So we're no longer without a voice. We're no longer without organization. We're no longer a bunch of 10,000 people, you know, arguing with each other. We have a mandate, and the mandate is go out there and become what you believe.
Thank God you'd started this 7 years ago, because before then we couldn't all unite. So now it's a great
place. Well, now we are
even
united.
Bigger and better. So
we are uniting.
Thanks to the fans and you.
Because if you left it to the Democrats, you'd have 1,600 different people stabbing each other in the eye.
That's right.
And claiming that I'm right, I'm a Marxist, I'm right, I'm an anarchist, I'm right, I'm a communist, I'm right, I'm a socialist, I'm right, I'm a... And suddenly everybody... And what gets done? What gets done? They control Congress. Did they stop home foreclosures?
Nope.
No. Did they feed the hungry children and put into place a mechanism these children should never have to grow up in America hungry? No.
Nope.
Did they support free public education for those who needed it. Not at all. Did they have a single-payer health care that would allow people who needed that to be treated without being rejected? No, they did not. Did they make it so that we decriminalize drugs and empty out these prisons of a lot of people who shouldn't be there? No. And would have stopped if they decriminalized drugs, and then you would have stopped the whole war on crime. A whole war on drugs, which is the longest war. Did they stop the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq?
No.
Did they take the teeth out of the military-industrial complex? No. Did they close down the corrupt Federal Reserve System from giving $16 trillion to their buddies? No, they did not. So I have to ask, how long can you continue to believe that the existing people in power, the two parties in power, are going to do anything except continue to do from different ideological points of view, but with the same outcome,
exactly.
The corporatists stay in power, the people at the Federal Reserve, the people at the bilateral, trilateral commission, the people in the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the major bankers, the major industrialists, the relatively small numbers, about 5,000 families and people who control behind the scenes. They've been using us as if we're a monopoly game. All right? They get out of jail. We don't. They can break the law and are never arrested. We can't. They bought up the media and put these fools in places, and people have no, I'll bet if you took off the pants of every one of these major people, you wouldn't see any nuts on any of them. All right? Because they don't have any balls. All right? The Brian Wims and all these people, they're an embarrassment to real journalism.
That's true.
So stop looking at left and right. Stop looking at Democrat and Republic, because the answer isn't there. And we have decided we're not waiting for them. We don't want them as leaders. We don't want them. We will reject them in a heartbeat. Why do you think you don't see these people on my radio show? Why do you not see Nancy Pelosi, who appears all the time on these other clown show over on MSC? Why do you think I don't want these people here?
They have no value to be here. They don't.
They don't deserve it.
They don't deserve it.
When did you see him getting arrested? When did you see him out there in the lines? When did you see Nancy Pelosi or any of these people or Keith Olbermann marching in to get arrested in front of the White House to stop home foreclosures, to raise the minimum wage?
He doesn't leave the studio.
That's right. So let them tell you with monitors in front of them what they believe, and then look for the truth, and you'll see that they're loggers at. So tomorrow, thank you for bringing that information.
Thank you, Gary. Thank you very much.
But Monday night, a 2 to 3 hour special on Progressive Radio Hour on the corruption of our prison system, the most comprehensive, in-depth, original investigative report on showing you everything about our prison system. And why do you think there's such a move right now against the illegal immigrants? Because now they've got a way of taking those illegal immigrants into a privatized, for-profit prison system. The more people they get into these arrest positions, the more money they make. It's time people knew the truth. So tomorrow, if we have drivers who can drive our camera crews, it's better than taking a cab, but one way or the other, we're going to be at all three locations. Call Jason. Jason, give me your number.
646-926-5428. Again, 646-926-5428.
And we'll be leaving at 9:30. We're leaving at 83rd and Broadway. And our first stop is to join and support the movement against genetic engineering at Grand Army Plaza at Prospect Park in Brooklyn, 11 a.m. From there, at noon to 3, is going to be at Pier 95, West 55th Street at 12th Avenue, Coalition Against Nuclear Rally. And at 7 p.m. tomorrow night, Occupy Wall Street, I'm the keynote speaker, 7 p.m., that's 56 Walker Street downtown. And that just gets us started for the weekend. I'm Gary Knoll. Thank you all for listening. Have a nice day. Stay tuned for Danny Schechter right here on the Progressive Radio Network.
Gary Knoll Show is produced in our New York City studios. The producer is Richard Gale. The engineer is Matthew Bogart. All shows are archived by Kyle Pollard. Our chief archivist is Sharon Pride. And the program director is Jason Tavenfeld.